From the independent producer project of KCRW and KCRW.com, I'm Bob Carlson, and this is Unfictional. Unfictional is a program of true stories and personal documentaries. And today on the program, we introduce a new series from KCRW called Below the 10, Life in South Los Angeles. Stories and portraits from some of LA's poorest neighborhoods south of the 10 freeway, places like Compton and Jefferson Park, including this story of one very stylishly dressed vendor selling bacon-wrapped pineapple hot dogs from a cart alongside Jefferson Boulevard. Producer David Weinberg brings us a chronicle of the life of Luis Gutierrez, who goes by the name of Grace. But a quick warning that this program contains adult topics and themes, including sex and drug use. In other words, probably not suitable for children. From the KCRW series Below the 10, Life in South Los Angeles, this is called Grace of the Sea. It's unfictional.
Allí en lo alto del cielo, en lo más alto que puedas pensar, hay una luz tan divina.
Every morning, Luis Gutierrez Sanchez steps out of his garage and starts his day the same way. He grabs a bag of leftover hot dog buns and feeds the birds.
And they know me, they come.
Luis tosses the last piece of bread into the air, holds his hand high, and brings it down in a wide arc, like a ballet dancer taking a bow. He walks down the long driveway and into his garage. Classical music plays on a portable radio.
This is it. This is where I live.
None of the walls are sheetrocked, so the exposed wood slats make it feel like an old shack where bootleg liquor is made. Though most of the wood is covered up by pictures of celebrities cut out from magazines, old newspaper articles, and poetry written on the walls in pastel chalk.
You have a lot of stuff on the walls.
Oh, my walls. Like I want to carry them with me.
Luis is heartbroken. For the last 6 years or so, he's lived illegally in this small one-car garage in Jefferson Park, a neighborhood just south of the 10 freeway between Crenshaw and Normandy. It doesn't have a bathroom or a kitchen, but Luis made it beautiful. It was a place he loved. But the landlord is kicking him out, and he doesn't know where he's going. Luis has 8 days to find shelter, but the packing and the search for a new home will have to wait till tomorrow. Right now, he has to get ready for work. Luis is selling hot dogs on a street corner a few blocks away. His metal cart is already loaded up with produce. He's almost ready to head out, but first, Luis has to transform himself. He puts on a loose-fitting pink sweater and ties a pink scarf around his head so it hangs down the side of his face. He places a pink fedora on his head, and in his left ear, he puts a dangly silver earring. And then, looking into the mirror, he applies a dark shade of pink lipstick. And the final touch, a pair of big, round, purple-tinted sunglasses.
It's like when I used to go and do my shows.
He used to do drag shows in Mexico and here in California.
When I prepare myself for the show, I look in myself at the mirror. I'm having my heels, my wig, my makeup. I'm listening to music, the perfect music. And I'm talking to myself and I look at myself and when I say, Luis, now you're not Luis no more. Now you're Grace. Grecia del Mar, Grace of the Sea. So, get ready.
This is the story of Grace of the Sea. It's a story that spans 6 decades. It's full of romance, violence, and a magic potato. And it begins on the streets of South Los Angeles. Grace's hot dog cart has diagonal stripes painted on the front, red, white, and green, the colors of the Mexican flag. As she pushes her cart down the street, she says hello to almost everyone, a woman at the bus stop.
Tell him about my dogs, girl, Cassini.
His dogs is the bomb, I ain't kidding. And I don't even like hot dogs.
The owner of a hair salon.
It's true that her affinity is gay, but she's a harmless gay. Honest.
A drunk crack dealer.
Hey, I sell rocks. You smoke rock?
Baby, don't you worry, don't you worry. Hey, hey, hey.
Baby, got my mind.
It's crazy. This world, if you're not a little crazy, it's not fun.
When she gets to her regular spot, in front of a corner store called Lupita's, she pulls out her portable radio and starts cooking.
Muchachito, perros!
Grace's hot dogs are special. She calls them pineapple dog, which she says she invented.
You're gonna love my dog.
She slices the hot dog lengthwise so the skin of the dog becomes a hinge. She opens it and places a thick slice of pineapple inside the meat. Then she wraps the whole thing in a slice of bacon and cooks it on a metal tray using the shallow pool of bacon fat to saute peppers and onions.
I prefer green bell peppers because green is money.
All of this goes on a bun, which she tops with homemade pico de gallo and finishes with a squeeze of orange.
And people go like, ooh.
They're delicious. Grace sells hot dogs 2 days a week, usually Monday and Friday, though sometimes she mixes it up to avoid health inspectors. The rest of the week, she sells candy out of a basket that she spray-painted gold. She sells hot dogs from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. and averages about $50 a day in profit, which comes out to a little more than half the city's minimum wage. But because her business is illegal, she pays no taxes. Throughout the day, several of Grace's family members stop by and say hello, a sister, a niece, and her mom, Maria. She sits in a worn-out camping chair and talks with Grace while she cooks. Maria says that at first, she didn't realize her son was gay. Sure, when his brothers went out to kill rats, he stayed home, and he liked to sing. But she had so much on her plate, raising 13 kids and taking care of a sick husband, that it took her a while to realize that Luis was different. And when she did, she was fine with it.
Well, I just accepted him the way he was, the way he is. I don't see it as bad.
Luis was lucky in that he had the support of his family, for the most part. Luis's oldest brother, Mario, just couldn't accept Luis. He would hug him tightly and whisper in his ear, "I'm going to kill you."
Things like that happens and you realize it's going to be hard. Life is not going to be easy being gay in those times.
One night, Mario came home drunk and was yelling at Luis. He started getting violent. So they had to tie him up like a hog to keep him from smashing the television. And then came one of the most formative moments in Luis's life. His father turned to him and said, "You're my son and I love you. Do what you want and tell them to go to hell. Tell the whole world to go to hell." One night, when Luis was 16, he had a particularly bad fight with his brother Mario, and he decided to leave Morelia and go to the big city, Guadalajara.
And that's when I left the note to mom, and I took money from my dad. I didn't take that much, maybe 100 pesos.
Luis had a friend named Carlos, who said he knew an old gringo in the city, and they could stay with him.
An old American guy, about 70, 75, 80, I don't remember.
Luis and Carlos, plus a few other friends, would all go together.
When we got there, he says, "Each night, one of you is going to sleep with me in my bed." And then he says, "I want the ugly ones first." I remember he says that. I was one of the last ones. Praise the Lord, I wasn't that ugly back then. I was so pretty, I swear. The first one was Alfredo.
The old gringo had a servant. He was about Luis's age, and he lived with him.
Beautiful kid from Sinaloa.
And so, on that first night, the gringo told Luis that he could sleep with his servant, the beautiful boy from Sinaloa.
We had so much fun that night, him and me.
Meanwhile, poor Alfredo spent the night with the gringo.
So the next day, Alfredo told us how bad was the experience being with Joe, the gringo.
And so each night, the gringo would sleep with a different boy. But something happened. And the servant turned on Luis and started harassing him.
And me, like I said, I'm very brave sometimes. I got mad at him and I went. I beat the hell out of him. I'm sorry. So when we got to the house, the white men put us on the street.
Even though he was out on the street, Luis didn't want to go back to Guadalajara.
It's wonderful. It was just my big first city that I saw.
Luis did odd jobs, scraping together enough money to stay in cheap hotels. When he couldn't find work, he would stand on the street corner looking pretty, and he would wait for men with nice cars to drive up and ask, how much for a date?
We ended up prostituting ourselves, charging for guys. And
you did that?
Oh, yeah, those days.
For Luis, this was a turning point. It was the first time that he'd struck out on his own, and he survived by any means necessary. And it was not an especially traumatic experience selling his body.
It was fun because they were no ugly guys and they were nice cars and it wasn't that bad. So it was fun. But then it started to get ugly. I wanted to go back to school.
Luis decided to go back to Morelia so he could finish high school. When he got home, he apologized to his family for stealing from them and running away. And they were happy to see him. They forgave him and they welcomed him back. One day when Luis was in his 20s, he met a man who told him about a place he called paradise, a place where you could really be free, where the living was cheap and the weather was perfect, the Yucatan Peninsula. And so Luis packed his bags and headed south to the tropical island of Cozumel. This period, he says, was the happiest in his entire life.
Oh, yes. That is nothing compared to the States. That is paradise. Natural. It's an island. The smell of the ocean, the sea. It smells like fish, mangoes, the palm trees when it rains.
And Luis started performing in drag shows. He would take the stage dressed all in black with a whip in his hand. He would crack it dramatically and lip sync to Grace Jones' cover of La Vie en Rose.
I remember when I did Grace Jones for the first time. The first time, it was a big auditorium. And when I was coming down with a whip, everybody was standing up, and I was a sensation.
Luis took on the name Grace and started performing all over the Yucatan, in Cancun and Playa del Carmen. And he found a little bar in the town of Cozumel. It was for rent, so he took it over.
It was like an open bar, the tables, the beautiful. It's called Los Arrecifes, and it was a hit. Every single day was full of guys drinking.
What did it look like after you took it over? Like, how did you decorate?
Oh, I put my wigs, I put feathers, I don't know, boas, dresses.
Was it gay men that were hanging out? Or?
No, it was not gay at all. Hombres, machos. This is the funny part, that when they got drunk, they put their wigs, they put their dresses.
I just want you to take a moment and picture this scene. Grace, standing behind the bar, serving beers and making venison tacos and ceviche for a bar full of macho Mexican men, drunk, in wigs and dresses. All of them cheering for Grace.
And I remember everybody, every table was calling me, Grecia, come and drink with us. Grecia, tomate una conmigo, drink one with us.
When we fix ourselves, we look different.
If Grace were selling hot dogs in, say, West Hollywood, she wouldn't seem all that out of the ordinary. But here in South Los Angeles, dressed in pink with her flowing scarf, she stands out. People see her and do double takes. While Grace turns the hot dogs so they don't burn, her sister Violeta stops by to say hello. She lives in San Diego, where she works as a court interpreter. But she comes to Los Angeles often to check on Grace. Even though Violeta is the younger sister, she feels very protective of her brother.
Yes, I feel like I want to kill everybody. I mean, everybody that tells him things. Like, not too long ago, there was some guys walking by the street, and I thought they were telling him something. I got out of the car, and I said to them, whatever you want with them, you can have it with me. Let's fight.
Violeta has also been helping Luis find a new place to live.
The people tell him, yes, we have this room available. And then he goes, and the people see him. Then people tell him, I'm sorry, the room is not available anymore.
Finding an affordable place to live in Los Angeles is really tough. For Luis, it's especially hard. He's undocumented, his job is illegal, and he makes below minimum wage. And then there was the way he dresses, which turns some landlords off.
He dresses the way he wants to dress, and if he wants to dance on the street and sings, he does it. And that's who I've been wanting to be all my life. And I always tell him, you're my hero. You will always be my hero.
Recently, Violeta put an ad in a Spanish-speaking paper for Luis. It said, room wanted. And he got a call from a man who said he had a room for rent. Luis told him that he could only pay $400 a month because he didn't make much money selling hot dogs.
And when I say hot dogs, the man says, oh, he goes like this. But some weenies are big and fat. It's a funny story because this guy started to talk about sex. So I said, I'm going to play with him.
The man asked Luis what he was wearing. And Luis said nothing. I'm naked.
Completely naked. I took my only thing that I wear, my underwear, with a special potato slice. Because maybe I haven't told you this story, and you need to know.
Luis has kept a slice of potato in his underwear 24 hours a day for the last 5 years. Not the same slice. He replaces it every day. Luis has a hernia, and one day he decided to have surgery. And he was telling an old Mexican woman about his plans to go to the doctor.
She said, no. Let me give you this advice. Don't never have a surgery. Always have a slice of potato in there with your underwear, and it will help you.
But the woman said there's one more thing. For it to work, the potato has to be stolen.
Róbate la papa. The potato has to be stolen.
Why didn't she say it had to be stolen? Why does it have to be, you know?
I don't know. This old Mexican lady told me that story, and I've been doing it. I've been with this hernia maybe for 5 years. When I wake up in the morning, I touch myself, and there is nothing. It's like the hernia is gone. I've been with this hernia maybe for 5 years, and I've been stealing the potato.
Luis steals at least one potato a week, usually more. So a very conservative estimate is that he has stolen at least 260 potatoes. He's been caught twice. I asked him if he was worried about all this shoplifting as an undocumented immigrant. He said no, not at all. He would be okay getting deported. Sure, he would miss his family, but it was never a big dream of his to come to America. He only ended up here because of his brother. After high school, Luis went to college and studied tourism law. Then he moved to Tijuana to work at a hotel. While he was there, he got word that his brother Ricardo had gone across the border to America and had gone missing.
So I said, I'll go and look for him.
Luis knew a coyote in town named Vicente, a man who would sneak people across the border for money. And Vicente was especially smitten with Luis.
And we were just friends. So I say to Vicente, the coyote, hey, I need to go to Los Angeles to look for my brother. He says, how much you charge me? And he says, you don't have to pay me nothing. You just give me a little. And I say, yeah, really? Okay.
And so, as they agreed, Luis made love to Vicente. And then they left for the border. It was Luis's first trip to America.
It was a rainy night. How do you say, lodo, dust, or mud? Because it was hard. It was like sliding, like I said, in the mud, raining in the bushes, crossing rivers, jumping walls.
When they got to Los Angeles, Luis went straight to a restaurant owned by a woman that he'd met in Mexico. She told him that she had a place he could stay, and she'd hire him to work as a waiter.
And she said, yeah, welcome, and how you doing? And she put me to clean everything.
Luis spent the whole day cleaning the restaurant. The stove, the kitchen, the floors. But at the end of the day, the woman refused to pay him. And she said, I don't have a place for you to stay.
And I said, what do you mean? You cannot give me the job. ¿Cómo que no voy a trabajar aquí? You told me. And I came to look for my brother. And I don't know anybody. No conozco a nadie. And I feel like I'm lost. I'm 20 years old, but I feel lost. I feel like, where is my brother? Putting me on the streets.
As Luis walked towards the back of the restaurant, he saw a boy washing dishes.
And I see this boy. That's a beautiful part of my life. And this boy comes to me, and he puts his hand on my shoulder, and he says, don't worry, man. Yo te doy posada. I'll give you posada. I'll give you shelter, he says to me. Yo te doy posada. I never forget those words.
The dishwasher walked with Luis down Pico, stopping in every restaurant along the way.
I don't remember how many restaurants we went inside, and he was asking for me, you need anybody for work? And he was an angel. I've been having angels in my life. Of course, I've been having demons, but mostly angels.
Luis ended up staying with a boy and his father for a couple months. And during this time, he found his brother. He'd been living in a truck and working as a mechanic. So Luis moved in with him, the two of them sleeping in the back of the truck. He got a job at a restaurant washing dishes. And one day, he was walking down the street when a car pulled up alongside him.
So I say, hi, how you doing? What's up in Espanol? So he says, súbete, get in the car. And I got in the car. I didn't know who he was, but I like him.
The man told Luis that he was the husband of the restaurant owner, the one who'd made him clean their restaurant and didn't pay him. And he gave Luis $20 and said, here's the money that my wife owed you.
Oh, and the most important thing, he says, you know why my wife put you on the street and she didn't give you the job? And I said, no, I don't know why. And he says, because I'm bisexual. And she thought that I was going to get you, or she saw me looking at you. And I said, really? And I said, oh, my goodness. And that's it.
Once Luis got settled in Los Angeles, he started performing in drag shows in Hollywood and Silver Lake. He learned new songs by Whitney Houston and Chaka Khan, and of course, Grace Jones. It was one of his favorite things about living in L.A. But his life as a performer came to a sudden and unexpected end one night. He was riding the bus home from work.
It was about 1 in the morning, and I was trying to get home to my other boyfriend that I love, that African-American. He's the best lover I ever had. So I was running to get to his arms.
There was a man at the back of the bus drinking a beer, and he started harassing Luis.
He was saying some like, wet bag, faggot, because those words are the ones they use. I hear them all the time.
The bus stopped, and the man got up to leave. But Luis's bike was blocking the door.
And he says, move your bike, faggot. And I say, hold on. And that's when I say, hold on, he just went like that with his fist. And he punched me in my eye. And the blood would start coming out of my eye. I had a white shirt because I was working in a restaurant. And all the blood in my shirt.
The doctors think that the man who hit Luis was wearing a ring.
My eyes sometimes get blurry, and it's hard for me to read.
Just below Luis's right eye is the scar. It's in the shape of a crooked smile. It looks a little puffy, like someone put an extra layer of skin on his face.
After that, I look at myself and I look at myself ugly.
Luis hasn't performed in a drag show since the attack.
I threw away my wigs, my dresses.
The attack came at an especially bad time. It was just before September 11th, 2001, which had a huge impact on undocumented immigrants like Luis. After September 11th, the social security numbers that he used to get jobs no longer worked. At the time, he was living in an ice cream truck, but without a job, he couldn't afford the rent on that. And his life just sort of spiraled out of control.
And somehow I start doing drugs, crack, cocaine.
He ended up living on the streets for about 6 months. During this period, someone set him on fire while he was sleeping. He couldn't walk for weeks while the burns on his legs healed. Luckily, he had a sister who he stayed with while he recovered. He says without his family, he wouldn't have been able to get his life back together. With their help, he got clean and eventually started selling candy and hot dogs on the streets of South Los Angeles, making enough money to pay rent on the garage that he's lived in for the last 6 years. The sun is low on the horizon by the time Grace sells out of Pineapple Dogs. She packs up her mustard and ketchup bottles, pours the dirty cooking oil into a Tupperware container, and heads home. On the way, two dogs bark at her from behind the fence of an auto shop. Grace stops, looks down at the dogs, and then pirouettes, holding her arms high above her head, dancing as if the barking dogs are serenading her.
And then here we go, on my way to my little house, my little place.
When she gets home, she takes off her hat and scarf, tilts her head to the side, and removes her earring. She's no longer Grace of the Sea. The transformation is immediate. Grace was full of life, light on her feet, singing and dancing in the street. But Luis looks tired and a little down. He has 1 week to find a place to live. He doesn't know it yet, but his luck is about to turn. Soon, he'll find a place, a room in a pretty yellow house down the street. When he moves in, at the age of 56, it will be the first time he has his own bedroom in a house in his life. But he doesn't know that yet. For now, he's going to get some rest. It's been a long day. He's going to take off his clothes, change his potato slice, and go to sleep. Lately, he's been dreaming a lot about Cozumel.
I dream a lot of being back there. Maybe in a few months I'll go. Maybe in a few weeks, maybe by December I give me the most, I will leave soon. Here I don't have no papers. I'm selling candies. Of course, it's success. It's beautiful. People love me on the streets. I dance. I sing. It's wonderful. They had those right here. But no, at the end, I want to go back to Cozumel. I have wonderful sex there too. Yeah, I have wonderful lovers. For me, that's very important. That's how I see life. And right there in Cozumel, they call me Grecia, Grecia del Mar, Grace of the Sea. Yo sabía que el amor no había sido hecho para mí, pero yo aún así creía.
Grace of the Sea was produced by David Weinberg. It was edited by Nick White. The associate producer for Below the Ten is Alexandra Garriton, who also produced a fantastic video about Grace, which you can see at belowthe10.kcrw.com, where you can also hear other stories in this continuing series. Below the Ten, Life in South Los Angeles, is made possible with the generous support of the Conrad N. Hilton Foundation. You can find an archive of all the past episodes of this program at our website, kcrw.com/unfictional. I'm Bob Carlson, producer of Unfictional. The associate producer is Nick White. You can podcast this program on iTunes. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Unfictional or like us on Facebook. As usual, thanks to the Annenberg Foundation, the Goldhirsch Foundation, and the Roth Family Foundation for their support. I hope you'll join me next time for Unfictional from kcrw.com.